Have you ever wondered how someone you admire became successful in their professional life, but also in their personal life? What does it take to become not only an outstanding leader, but an outstanding person? Welcome to Leaders Unplugged, a show that explores professional and personal leadership through conversations with leaders, regardless of where they are in their career. I'm Nicole Boivin. Today we are meeting with an executive from the academic sector. Carole Beaulieu is the Vice President Advancement and Board Secretariat for OCAD University, which is the largest and most comprehensive art design and media university in Canada. She is also the chair of the Board of Directors of Groupe Média TFO, a publicly funded French language educational media organization. Carole has had a great career spanning the cultural and public sector, having worked as a chief of staff for the Ontario government and as head of marketing and development at the National Ballet School. I have known Carole for many years and knew that her story would be rich in substance. Here is Carole now.
As I hear you list, you know, government relations, yes, corporate secretary, fundraising, brand, and I look at your background, it's very consistent with all those hats you've worn.
It's almost as if it was planned.
Yeah, yeah.
But I agree. When I came here 7 years ago, it felt like I was coming to an institution where it was a culmination, mm-hmm, of many different areas that I had worked in that you've listed, but also organizations that had prepared me for this role. And at the same time, it felt like it was coming back home. Because it's the creative sector,
mm-hmm,
but at the same time, it's a university, so it has the mix of, I always talk about this institution as a massive powerhouse of creativity. There are 5,000 creatives in this neighborhood, so I just wanted to be here. At the same time, in roles that I understood, mm-hmm, and in roles where at that point in my career, I could really make a difference.
What's the most challenging portfolio that you've had to work on since you've been here?
I have to start by saying that this is a university, and that for me was a learning curve. And because universities have what I call distributed power, there's very collegial. At the same time, it means that many people need to be consulted.
Mm-hmm.
There are processes. It's a system of with a Senate where the powers of the board are in one area of jurisdiction and the powers of the Senate are in another jurisdiction. And as I mentioned earlier, I was one of the people who worked on establishing that bicameral governance. Well, with that comes distributed and shared power.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the most challenging files, if I can put it that way, was the renewal of the president. And in the private sector, in the not-for-profit sector, this doesn't exist.
Yeah.
In universities, yeah, academic administrators are appointed for a term,
mm-hmm,
of 5 years usually. And after a term, you go back out to your full community of internal and external stakeholders for feedback. And everyone participates in the renewal process and in the decision process. So I was working very closely with our board. We had an amazing process, we thought. You know, unlocking the way forward was very challenging, but we did it. We did it. We had a magnificent board chair. It really was a lesson in mediation and communication and also accepting the circumstances and adjusting. I think that we all learned that when you consult, it's got to be real. And I think we were,
uh-huh,
fully authentic at the beginning of the process. But we learned that we hadn't gone far enough.
Has your career evolved as you expected?
I think some people might have a plan. I can't say that I had a plan, although I'm a strategic planner.
But not when it comes to you.
Exactly. but there's one thing that I keep in mind, which is, remember studying, and I still love his theories, Mintzberg talks about emergent strategy. Mm-hmm. And that's been my career plan. It's been an emergent strategy process. But I think that I'm intuitive enough to sort of feel the next move, and also impatient enough to not stay in situations that are not rewarding.
Change of pace. How have the events in your life shaped who you are today?
Well, the first amazing one was I'm going to cry. was having a daughter.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. So I tell people that because it keeps you grounded.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe it's responsibility, but maybe it's also just figuring it all out early because this person is with you. Because having a daughter made me stay in certain situations, jobs, that maybe I would have flipped myself out of faster. Although I did flip out of many. But it always grounded me in the next move has to have a strategy, right? And I did take time off to go to grad school, but I planned it, etc. So it kind of, the grounding in my case made me take a fewer risks. And when I took them, they were more calculated.
You're from Northern Ontario. You're from Sudbury.
I always tell people I'm from Isilda. Isilda is a small village on a lake outside of Sudbury, and it's a Francophone village.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a quick way to tell my story, especially in Toronto, because when I meet people, my jobs have always been very social. I work as much in a cocktail party as I do in a boardroom.
Mm-hmm.
So the who you are in, you know, your elevator pitch is Carole Beaulieu from Isilda in a nutshell. And then that sort of explains a lot of things, right? Who you are, you're not from Montreal, you're Franco-Ontarian, and then whatever the person wants to know from there is possible. But being from somewhere like that means that you always know who you are.
It's grounding.
Yeah, it's very grounding. And I found people to be very welcoming of that identity because it's being authentic. I remember working with the cabinet minister and we had a really nice orientation together, an orientation lunch. And we both agreed that we knew that the jobs that we were in at that time, in my case, chief of staff, in her case, a cabinet minister, that we knew that they were not forever.
Mm.
And that we would have access to amazing power. We would be able to work on legislation. We were going to command, huge ministries and make a difference, hopefully. But that someday we would walk out of those rooms and, we would remain who we were.
Mm-hmm.
So because I think that sometimes if you forget that you're only there de passage, it might have a negative impact on yourself, I would think. You just move on to something else.
What's the hardest thing you've ever had to do?
So the hardest thing actually became an amazing lesson. And that's when you're in transition between jobs. Because we're talking, there's been things in my personal life, but in my career, and those become personal moments, when either something is over because you're leaving it or because I had one circumstance where there was a restructuring and I had to, prepare for the next phase. So it's happened to me in a major way 3 times in my career. And I think that that's just the way careers are. And there was once where I really had to do what people say you have to do, which is network. And I had never had to do it this way before. And I was afraid. I was, you know, I'm extroverted, but in this case, I was becoming introverted. But honest to God, it was one of the best things that I've ever done. I went to see people that I thought would never see me, who saw me. I was introduced to new people. Mm-hmm. People gave me advice. And I kind of mastered how to do that, which was, you know, ask them for a little bit of time, make it a coffee, not a lunch, go to wherever they can squeeze you in. And I have to say that almost 100% of the people that I asked and I would just ask for advice, and they were so generous. And I eventually got this position through that process.
So this is a good segue to the next question. Mm-hmm. What do you do when you hit a wall? Other than garden.
Grow more herbs. some of them will be legal soon. And no, I'm just... when you hit a wall, I think that... Well, first of all, you take care of yourself immediately, right? Because if you're hitting a wall, I would say that you've misjudged what came before. So take care of yourself immediately.
What does that look like for you?
Workout.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's been my savior many times. So always work out just have that as a tool.
Yeah.
That you can ramp it up. Mm-hmm. When you need more of it. And all the good things, your friends, you know, your health. But then on a psychological level, stay positive, keep going, because at the end of the day, it's probably not that bad.
What's the best advice that you've ever been given?
Yes, I always quote this because Ian Delaney, who is an amazing entrepreneur, was speaking at an institution where I worked, and he was talking about career development, and he was talking to young people, and then we had a chat as well. But it was about always being in an area or a job where there's growth. Go where there's growth. Those were his words. Because if you're in an area where that is growing, that is ambitious, it will be challenging, it will be more difficult, you'll be stretched, mm-hmm. but you will always be on the innovation side.
What are you the most grateful for in your life so far?
You know, I could answer that in many ways, but I'm very grateful to have had the opportunities to learn, to have had access to post-secondary education, by the way. Like, that's a game changer. I may be more sensitive to that because I work in a university now, but...
What do you mean it's a game changer?
It was a game changer for me. It's a game changer for many people. Mm. But the education is really about the learning. So if I take my, you know, situation, is moving from a Zilda to a university, like, it's a step towards a bigger world. And then that journey never ends.
So if you can unlock the learning journey.
Exactly. Because if you know how to learn, you will always innovate, you will always adapt, you will always be in that growth mode, you will always be wanting more and producing more. Yeah. And I think that's a self-responsibility, mm-hmm. In a career.
to remain relevant.
Yeah, and to learn and to be pushing your own boundaries.
Yeah.
You're not done, right? And your job will change, you know? So if you're not, and you will make your job change. That's the one thing that I've been fortunate, is that my organizations have let me change my job over and over and over again.
Last question.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you have for emerging leaders?
It's interesting because I think that in this day and age, resilience and flexibility are even more important. I think that I have had those. I have learned those. I have, you know, again, in those transition moments that I described earlier, resilience and believing and going and working as hard in those transition moments as you do
mm-hmm.
when you're in a particular role. But I think the constant evolution of your skills, as much as you are qualified when you get a job, you have to be thinking about where that thing is going in the future all the time.
Merci, Carole.
Okay.
Carole is a thoughtful leader, and she's lived life on her terms. She's grounded, humble, and grateful for the opportunities that have come her way. Not bad for a little girl from Azilda. If you want to listen to more conversations like this one, look for Leaders Unplugged at iTunes, Google Play, or NicoleConsulting.com. I also want to thank our producer, Josie Guimont, and our editor, Graham Harris. Until next time, I'm Nicole Boivin.